This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Timberman Werebear, written by T.S. Joyce, performed by Mackenzie Hart. Chapter 1. Danielle Clayton had made the worst decision of her life moving back to Saratoga. That awful choice was highlighted by the man sitting on the stage across the bar in a halo of blinding spotlight, taking a long pull of what was likely a whiskey and coke as he prepared to perform his next song. How did she know it was a whiskey and coke? Because she knew him as well as anyone could get to know a sack of secrets like Denison Beck. Charming, funny, entirely comfortable under scrutiny, outspoken, mouthy, red-blooded man. All the outer attributes he allowed people to see. Attributes that made people feel like they knew him when they really didn't know him at all. Denison Beck was an enigma. Always had been, always would be. She cast a lingering glance over her shoulder as his darker-haired twin brother, Brighton, strummed the first chord of the next song. Sounded like it would be a country crooner. Denison looked different than he had 4 years ago. He'd lost the lankiness of boyhood and grown short, dark scruff on his face. Probably intentional, and not from laziness. Denison had been a perfectionist when she'd had cause to know him on a personal level. At least he seemed to be, from the few times she was allowed to visit his meticulously tidy home. Back when they were dating. As Denison pressed the frets of his guitar with long, graceful fingers, his bicep bulged under the dark green t-shirt that clung to his defined musculature like a second skin. Gym rat. She'd forgotten to add gym rat to his list of known qualities. And sex pot. She took a sip of her cranberry vodka and tried to yank her gaze away from his flexing pec as he strummed along with Brighton. Nope. Her eyes refused, the traitors, and traveled down to his powerful legs, bent at the knee as he settled into his rhythm on the old bar stool. Even the holes in his jeans had probably been bought that way. She couldn't imagine him looking like a slouch without purpose. But it wasn't his demigod body that had slayed her all those years ago. It had been his eyes. Under the designer, messy, sandy brown crop of hair, his eyes were soft and gray as he belted out the first lyric in that deep, rich baritone that used to make her ovaries explode. The trio of ladies at the next table sighed in unison, then leaned closer. Oh, for crap's sake, she muttered, and dragged her attention back to her drink. She wasn't going to be one of his groupies, not this time around. This time, she was here for a job. That was all. Her hands shook, and she checked the door once more. If Darren didn't show in 3 minutes, she was out of here. It was cruel to expect her to sit here and listen to her ex sing songs about a love he knew nothing about. And Darren, that little pissant, was half an hour late. It was his idea to have a business meeting at a bar, and he just so happened to pick Denison's old haunt. Admittedly, she had hoped to enjoy some fond memories here tonight, not see her danged ex doing what he'd probably been doing the entire 4 years she'd been away at school, singing at Sammy's bar and banging locals. Freaking Denison. He'd never change. Which made her take a long, head-clearing pull of air and nod her head at how justified she'd been in leaving his ass. Except in her bout of self-righteousness, she inhaled the plume of a passerby's exhaled cigarette smoke and coughed in the most unattractive snort she'd ever heard come from a woman. Lovely. Time to go. She stood, but a tall man with piercing blue eyes blocked her way. Leaving so soon? He asked in a thick drawl. She smiled politely and took a final sip of her drink, then set the glass on the table with a clunk. I've been here long enough. Excuse me. Let me buy you another drink, the man said. My name's Matt, and I've been watching you sitting over here by yourself. I came here alone tonight, too, so I get it. Get what? 'Cause she sure as Snickers didn't need a man right now, if that was what he was implying. She especially didn't need one to pity flirt with her, to make her feel like she wasn't just some loser sitting alone in a bar. Matt lowered his head and voice. I get that you came here looking for a connection. She screwed up her lips and swallowed a giggle. Connection? No. Stiff drink? Yes. And a meeting with that little weasel, Darren, before he headed into the wilderness on his own. I'm just gonna close out my tab and be on my way. He snatched her cell phone from her hand and typed in a number, then saved it to her contacts, the ass. So, what's your name? He asked with a cool playboy smile. His teeth were blinding white, like he'd bleached them with household cleaners. She couldn't take her eyes away from them. His feline grin was like a bug light calling to her. Completely uninterested in getting to know more about Matt and his eye-scorching grill, she ducked around him and leaned onto the bar top. The bartender was busy with a buxom blonde down the counter. Meanwhile, Dennison's voice hit the slower last notes of the song. Panic constricted Danielle's throat. He can't see me, she reminded herself. The spotlight ensured Dennison couldn't see anyone past the first few tables from the stage. She was safe all the way over here in the shadow of Matt the flirty giant. Matt's hips brushed her backside, and she jerked forward. Let me take care of this one, he said, his lips so close to her ear his voice vibrated through her. His arms propped against the counter on either side of her, trapping her. With a gasp, Danielle rounded on him. Back the fuck off! Claustrophobia was going to give her a full-blown, double-ball-kicking panic fit right here in the middle of the smoky joint. She tried to duck under his arm, but he moved to block her with his massive, muscled torso. My girl here needs another drink, Matt called down the bar. I'm not your girl, she gritted out, measuring the distance she would need to drive a knee into his groin if he didn't move. Damn her stumpy short legs. Matt bowed forward, the smell of alcohol pungent on his breath. Danielle leaned back as far as the bar top would allow her, but it wasn't enough. She was pushing his immovable chest now, angling her face away from his as he zeroed in on her lips. Stop it, she demanded, just as his lips brushed the corner of her mouth. Matt's shoulder jerked backward, and he spun away from her. The wide expanse of Dennison's shoulders now blocked Matt from view. Oh, shit, she murmured. Frantically, she flagged down the bartender, kicking herself for not paying in cash. When she turned to her right, Brighton was sitting on the bar stool next to her, sipping a beer like he'd been there all night. Double shit, she said, leaning her head back and closing her eyes. With a sigh, she opened them again, just as recognition flashed across his green eyes. He didn't look any happier about her being here than she was. Hey, Brighton. Good to see you again. Brighton leaned back, exposing the thick cords of muscle in his neck and his bulging Adam's apple. He pulled a pen from his pocket and wrote a hurried scribble across a napkin as Dennison bullied Matt out the front door. She stared down at the napkin Brighton shoved in front of her. He didn't talk. Never had, from what she understood. And if he wanted to say anything, he wrote it. You're gonna hurt him. The words cut her deeper than she thought possible. They also confused the devil out of her. Hurt him? That was practically laughable. Ha ha ha. Hurt him. Dennison was an invincible and unfeeling razor blade who'd shredded her when they'd split up. Brighton's dark eyebrows lifted, and he shook his head, as if she were in it now, better dig in her heels. You okay, lady? Dennison asked in that familiar baritone she'd fallen in love with. The voice that had made her feel things no one else had. The voice that probably made lots of women feel lots of things. She wasn't special. I'm fine. Tears stung her eyes, and red bubbled through her veins at the idea she was melting down in front of the man who'd destroyed her. With a tentative smile for the bartender, who handed her back her credit card, she signed for a tip, dodged around Dennison with her chin lowered to her chest, and made a beeline for the door. She passed so close to him, she could hear him inhale sharply. Danielle. Yep, it was definitely time to go. She'd known she would run into him in Saratoga. In fact, it would be necessary for her to complete what she'd come here to do. But it wasn't supposed to happen now. She'd planned to swoop in here, settle in, maybe make some local friends, and throw herself into work. She had wanted to deal with the avalanche of memories before she tried to talk to Dennison, preferably without a tremor in her voice. She'd be straight up damned if she was going to converse with him all weak and teary. Nope, nope, nope. Hey, Danielle, Dennison called from right behind her. She pushed her legs harder, realized the 2 double cranberry vodka she slurped down had affected her more than she thought, and promptly tripped over the doorstop. With a squelch, she lurched forward and landed on her hands on the unforgiving cement. Good thing she'd worn a hoochie skirt tonight and banged up her knees to match her scraped palms. Pain shot up the nerve endings of her scuffed-up skin. And now the waterworks were unstoppable, as embarrassment blasted heat up her neck and into her cheeks. As she looked up, she was mortified to find Dennison crouching in front of her, hands out as if he didn't know what to do to help her, a horrified look on his face. Are you okay? He asked. I'm fantastic, she said around a sob. I'm just... She struggled upward and wiped her bleeding hands on her skirt. I'm just wonderful. Here, don't do that. It'll hurt worse. Dennison held her hands in his and studied her palms. And to her utter annoyance and dismay, her body reacted to him, just as it had those years ago. From where he touched her, tingling warmth ran up her arms. It pooled at her shoulders, then flowed into her chest and down into her quivering belly. He looked up with a startled look in his gray eyes, eyes that seemed lighter than she remembered. You feel it too, he accused. Anger snapped her spine straight, and she yanked her hands from his. I don't feel anything. Ignoring her stupid tears that stained her stupid cheeks and stupid rivers, she stomped around him and tossed her purse into the passenger seat of her open-door Jeep, then slid behind the wheel. You can't just leave without telling me why, Dennison said, suddenly at her door. Why what? She said, swallowing her anguish. Why did you leave without saying anything? You were supposed to be here, with me, for 3 more days before you went back to school. Damn it, Danielle, he said, clenching his fists on either side of her door. His voice dipped to a ragged whisper. I was supposed to have 3 more days. She huffed and shook her head slowly. Why? Because he'd invited her to watch him play a show, and when she'd come to meet up with him, he had had his arms around another woman, his lips on another woman. She closed her eyes against the pain of his betrayal. You really can't think of any reason why I would have left without saying goodbye, you cheating rat. Dennison looked at her like he was lost and swallowed hard. No. The look on his face, so raw and open, nearly doubled her over. Her chest hurt more than her scraped hands and knees. I can't do this right now. Danielle, I can't. I'm not ready for this conversation. I'm sorry I ever came back. She jammed the key and turned the engine, then pulled through an empty parking space and sped off. She looked in the rearview mirror just once. Dennison was standing in the middle of the gravel parking lot, with his fingers linked behind his head, chin tilted back. Agony written across his face. Danielle had made the worst decision of her life, moving back to Saratoga. Chapter 2. In utter shock, Dennison stood in the half-empty parking lot of Sammy's bar, eating a cloud of Danielle's dust and wondering what the hell had just happened. 4 years without a peep from the woman. And all of a sudden she was back, riling up his bear just like she had once upon a time. He ran his hands up the back of his scalp and flung them in front of him. He'd almost gotten over her. Brighton snickered a silent laugh from beside him, like he'd heard his lying thoughts. Shut up, man, Dennison grumbled to his brother. Of course Brighton would find this amusing. He'd sworn off a mate since he was a cub. Dennison had played that game until he'd met Danielle, fresh out of her first year of college for the summer, working an internship for some environmentalist group up in the mountains near Saratoga. One summer, and his bear had chosen. Too bad she hadn't chosen him back. Dennison bit back a curse and twitched his head. Let's grab our stuff and get out of here. preferably before that asshat Matt came back with a couple of his grayback buddies and began a crew-on-crew brawl in a parking lot of inebriated humans. Matt Barnes was an old not-friend, and definitely due for an ass-kicking, but not here, and not tonight. The toe of Dennison's work boot faltered on a stone sticking out of the gravel, and he fought the urge to rip it from the ground and chuck it against the lone tree that sat between here and the main drag in town. 4 years ago, he'd imagined meeting up with Danielle again. After a few months with no word from her, he'd known she wasn't ever coming back. She'd gone back to college and begun a new life that didn't include him. But that hadn't stopped him from visualizing what one more hour with her would be like, what he would ask, and if she still loved him. Well, apparently he'd done something wrong, but damned if he knew what. Freaking women. You done for the night? Ted, the bartender, asked. Yeah, we're gonna cut out early. We're gonna try to beat rush hour. Ted chuckled at the joke and waved them off. Rush hour didn't exist here in this small town, and it sure wasn't a problem out on the winding road from here to the Ashland Mobile Park where he and Brighton lived. The worst traffic he ever found was a family of raccoons taking their sweet-ass time to cross the road on occasion. But other than that, he was lucky to pass another car on the 2-hour drive back. Dennison picked up his guitar from where it sat leaning crooked against his chair. He wasn't usually rough with his instruments, and especially not his favorite guitar. But when he'd heard the ruckus near the bar and squinted through the blinding stage lights to see Matt messing with another townie, well, he'd nearly lost it trying to get to her. That guy spelled trouble every time he came in here looking for an easy lay. He was never subtle about his intentions, and when he was rejected, which was often, he wasn't very gracious about it. You okay to drive? Ted asked, as Dennison packed his guitar in an old, scratched-up case. Oh, man, you know I don't drink too much when I have a show. Brighton had a beer, but I'm driving. His whiskey and coke was all for show. If he nursed a drink all night, the ladies laid off buying him more. It's a habit to ask, Ted called, wiping down the counter. Same time next week? You bet. The conversation went like this every week, on repeat for 5 years. Dennison's inner animal required a strict routine. Work until his bones were sore on the job site as a timberman. Indulge in the company of his crew in the evenings. Sleep a full 8 hours, then do it all again. And on Friday, it was gig time at Sammy's bar. Good gravy, life was boring. But it was what his bear needed. So fine. He lifted his gaze to the road Danielle had disappeared down in that sexy, forest green, jacked-up Jeep she'd been driving. Life hadn't been boring the summer she'd been here. She looked different now. Her hair used to be long, down to her hips, and as dark as raven feathers. It was still dark, but it only fell to her shoulder blades now, and she wore it in soft curls instead of straight. He liked it. She still had those fiery, almond-colored eyes, pert little nose, and tiny elfin lips that he wanted to suck swollen. But as far as he remembered, she'd never worn a short skirt in front of him. Not until tonight. She hadn't the confidence to dress like that when he'd known her before. Or thought he'd known her. Brighton clapped him on the back so hard it rattled his innards. Right, back to earth. He set the guitar case in the back of his old beat-up Bronco and slid behind the wheel. His brother was grinning from ear to ear by the time the engine roared to life. What? Dennison asked. Brighton lifted his eyebrows and shrugged. Did you like that little show? Me running after her like a puppy, making a fool of myself? Well, he said, backing out of the parking space Ted had reserved for talent with a hand-painted sign. I feel like grit now. The 2-hour trip back was brutal, on account of Brighton leaning back the seat and promptly falling asleep, leaving Dennison to try and stay awake without company the entire drive through the mountains, which meant 2 hours of summer-kissed, swimming hole memories with Danielle. He'd watched her open up that season, from a timid bookworm to a woman. He thought she was forever, but he'd been wrong. And now, the same devastating hole that had sat in his stomach for a year after she left was back, eating him from the inside out. God, he wished he would have just stayed away. The look on her face when she was crying in the parking lot, like he'd killed her kitten. How was he supposed to get that vision out of his head? Her face all crumpled and tears striking her cheeks, making dark smudges of sadness under her eyes. And her hands. Damn it, he'd had to fight not to change and clean her wounds. Her knees had been trickling red, but she didn't seem to care at all. All she seemed to care about was getting as far away from him as she could. He'd replayed their last day together over and over, but he still couldn't figure out what he'd done to piss her off so badly that she'd leave and never come back. Never call or write, or hell, send a damned carrier pigeon. Poof. She just vanished, leaving his bear unmanageable and littering his chest cavity with little shredded pieces of his heart. And that was the autumn he had sworn off women forever. Brighton had the right of it all along. Don't let women get close, and they couldn't hurt him. Not like Danielle had. Never again. When he finally pulled under the Ashland Mobile Park sign, at the entrance of a double row of trailers the Ash crew inhabited, he was just about dead on his feet. Brighton stumbled off to his own house without so much as a wave, and Dennison dragged his guitar case up the porch stairs and inside the trailer. He poured a drink from the tap, but the water was a little on the brown side from the pipes not being used all day. So he dumped the glass and let the sink run for a minute before he tried again. Tasted a little dirty, but Dad always said that a little grit in his food would put hair on a man's chest, whatever that meant. From his experience, women didn't much prefer heavy pelts. Danielle had preferred him smooth when they'd gotten to the bedding portion of their relationship. He remembered the way she'd run her hands across his torso, petting him, and tethering his animal to her even more, like some spellcaster securing his bond. She'd had soft hands compared to his calloused ones. And incredible tits, all round with those perfect pink nipples drawing up hard any time his lips touched them, and shit. His dick was already swollen and thumping against the seam of his pants. Dennison chugged the water and rinsed the glass. It did no good thinking about her finer qualities. It just made the hole in the pit of his stomach yawn open a little wider. He would never have her again. That much was clear from the way she had looked at him when she'd been in the Jeep. Like it hurt to lay her eyes on him. He jerked open the drawer of odds and ends and dug through to the back before finding what he was looking for. Three photographs were all he had of his time with Danielle. He hadn't looked in them in 3 years on principle. He wiped dust off a close-up picture of her kissing his cheek as he smiled at the camera. The second was of Danielle swinging on an old tire he'd tied from a giant pine tree in the backyard of the cabin he'd shared with Brighton at the time. Bright red gloss painted her lips, and she wore a matching knee-length summer dress that billowed out as she swung. Fucking gorgeous. The third had been his favorite, though. It was of her and Brighton, leaned back on their elbows in tall meadow grass, lying in the sun with their eyes closed and heads tossed back. She wore a white sundress with little cherries on it. He traced the arc of her neck with his fingertip and grimaced at the pain in his chest. Then he thought about burning the pictures over the stove, like he had contemplated doing 100 times. Maybe if they didn't exist anymore, if they didn't sit in that drawer haunting him, maybe the pain would stop, and he could forget about her. But just like every other time, he decided against it. If he got rid of the only thing he had left of her, he'd be truly alone. And that seemed somehow worse than the pain of losing her. Whatever reason she'd thought of to come back, he wished she'd hurry up and leave so he could start getting over her again. An ear-splitting racket filled Danielle's ears, and she hunched in on herself. When she was buried deep within the warm wrinkles of her blanket, she cracked an eye open. The noise began again. She lurched up and tossed the covers away from her. The cell phone clattered across the tiny nightstand by her bed as it screamed again. Why the devil had she picked that hideous ringtone? Hello? She croaked into the receiver. Ms. Clayton, Mr. Reynolds purred. Are we still asleep? She squinted at the blurry, battery-operated alarm clock next to her bed. Not anymore. I thought I wasn't starting until Monday.
I assume you've settled in nicely to the rental I've given to you?
She looked around the swanky, refurbished Airstream RV and nodded a tangled lock of hair out of her face. Yes, sir, I have. It's much nicer than I imagined it would be when you hired me.
Good. Then you won't mind starting your research a little bit early. I'm on a bit of a time crunch, I'm afraid.
To discover the solution for the beetle infestation? It was definitely going to take more than 2 extra days to solve the fiasco that had killed off the trees in the area.
Your counterpart, Darren, is already on his way into the wilderness as we speak. Do take his enthusiasm and allow it to affect yours.
Sir, I'm very enthusiastic about this job. I'm sorry for the miscommunication, but I specifically remember you saying I was to start on
Ms. Clayton, Reynolds snapped. I have no patience for excuses. If you want this job, and if you want to be paid for this job, you will start today.
He sighed into the phone.
Now that we have that cleared up, I've decided to partner you with someone who knows the area.
Wait, what? This was supposed to be a loan job, and we were supposed to exchange notes in weekly meetings to bring you our findings. Darren and I can cover more ground if we work separately.
I didn't say anything about you working with Darren. You're to be working with Dennison Beck. I've been told you're already familiar with him.
Her mouth dropped open, and she frowned so hard her face hurt. Nope. Hell no to that.
She scrunched up her nose and closed her eyes to ward away the oncoming headache Mr. Reynolds was proving to be.
I'm not working with that man. He holds no value to the job I'm doing, and we don't get along. If I must work with someone, fine. Choose anyone on the planet besides him, please.
You seem to think this is a suggestion. It's not. I'll text you the address you are to meet him at and any pertinent information. Have him show you around his territory.
His territory? Excuse me for asking, but what does that mean? He's a townie.
Not anymore.
Danielle viciously fought the urge to strangle the phone. She gritted her teeth so hard her jaw hurt, then tried again. Mr. Reynolds, I've been very excited about joining in on this research for you, but this wasn't part of the job description.
Are you backing out?
No. Maybe. She flopped back on the bed in a star-like shape. Can I have until Monday, my original start date, to decide on whether to continue with your request? Dennison and I have history. The relationship is complicated, and I hadn't expected to spend any substantial amount of time with him.
Another long, irritated sigh blasted across the phone speaker. That would be fine.
One last thing, she rushed out before he hung up. Does Dennison work for you?
No, not directly.
Then how do you know he'll help me?
Because, Miss Clayton, I have a feeling you can be very compelling when you want to be.
The line went dead, and she glared at the screen until it went blank. A screech of pure frustration rattled her throat, and she stared at the low ceiling above her. She'd have to pull out of the job, and the trip would be wasted, because there was no way in Hades. She was signing up for hours, days, and possibly weeks in the woods with Dennison, the man-ho, Beck. Chapter 3 Dennison was dog-tired, the kind of exhausted that seeped into his bones and made him want to sleep for a full 24-hour block of time. He'd focused on work today to keep his mind off Danielle. He'd spent half the night awake, wondering if he'd dreamed her at Sammy's. But from the concerned look on his brother's face this morning, she'd definitely been there. Brighton worried too damned much. He waffled between finding amusement in Dennison's love life, or lack thereof, to fretting like a mother hen that Danielle was going to break him in half again. Well, she wasn't. Dennison wasn't going to let her get that close. He'd even protected himself by calling up to Sammy's and canceling his gig next weekend, so there was no chance of seeing her in town since he wouldn't be there. Sure, he and the boys were headed up to the Lumberjack Wars competition the newly opened sawmill in Saratoga had organized, but it was off in the woods and miles away from any risk of running into her. His Bronco lurched side to side as he maneuvered around a pair of potholes so deep he could probably spit in them and hit magma.
Last week's rains had washed out the roads worse than they usually were. He was caked in dirt and sweat, and his muscles twitched from the exertion of working every daylight hour with his crew, trying to keep on top of lumber deadlines so they could give themselves enough time to take a day off tomorrow and escort the girls, Brooke and Skylar, to their first lumberjack competition. Drew was laid out like a corpse in the back seat, snoring softly with his yellow hard hat draped over his face, and Brighton stared out the window in the passenger seat as Dennison followed Kellen's white lifted pickup truck down the rugged terrain back toward Ashland Mobile Park. Home was situated in the valley between this mountain and the next. Through the tinted window ahead, he could make out Kellen and his mate, Skylar, as they tipped their heads together for a kiss. Dennison dragged his gaze back to the dirt road disappearing under the nose of his Bronco. Their affection had never bothered him before, but it was different now with all his emotions stirred up by Danielle's unexpected arrival in town. He gripped the wheel and clenched his teeth. There she was again, clouding his mind with memories of those sexy lips and how good they tasted when he'd been lucky enough to have her. He turned the radio dial to the only radio station out here that got reception, and an old rock and roll classic blared through the speakers. Brighton tossed him the 50th worried look for the day, and Dennison considered booting him from the Bronco and making his ass walk the rest of the way home. Pitying looks made his bear want to kill things. By the time he pulled through the back gate behind the other trucks, Brighton had wisely decided to ignore him and keep his attention out the window. "Drew, wake up," he muttered as he pulled in front of his trailer. "We're home." Dennison didn't wait for the others to get out of his ride. It wasn't like he needed to lock his doors around here. So he took his porch steps two by two and left them to get out as slowly as they wanted. He hung his hard hat by the door and stripped his shirt and work boots off on the way to his bedroom. Before the tap was even steaming, he was under the cool jets of water, letting it rinse streams of mud down his torso and arms. He was a happy person by nature, but ever since last night, he'd been feeling off. It was as if a huge, gaping hole had opened in his chest, growing bigger and bigger until it threatened to swallow up the good parts about him. That's what love had done to him. That's why he would never allow that worthless emotion to taint him again. Tegan had found his mate in Brooke, and Kellen had found Skylar. But that didn't mean every grizzly shifter found a partner. They were the exception to the rule. Most stayed in bachelor groups, fucked humans when the need to mate became too much, and went their entire lives without finding a true mate. Lady bear shifters were rare. Not many survived in vitro, and turning women was frowned upon. If women weren't strong enough and dominant enough, their inner grizzlies would maim them from the inside out. He'd messed up with Danielle, allowed himself to bond with her, allowed his grizzly to choose a fragile human as a potential mate, when he should have been bedding her, then running for the hills like every other male of his kind would have done. Well, maybe not every male. He thought of Kellen and Tegan and how they lived and breathed to make their mates happy. Hell, Dennison loved Brooke and Skylar like they were his own blood siblings and would die for either one of them without hesitation. And damn it all, a greedy, needy, pathetic little part of him wanted what Tegan and Kellen had. He wanted to feel like they did and have his devotion returned. Danielle was a runner, though. History proved it. And she had shown him she hadn't changed one bit when she took off last night in a plume of tire grit. With a growl, he forced her from his mind and concentrated on soaping his body. Of course, he was then contending with his raging boner that seemed to spring to life whenever he thought of Danielle. But as tempting as it was to take himself in hand and stroke out a release, the knot of tension would no doubt still be in his shoulders after he emptied himself into the water running down the drain. Plus, now that Danielle was back in his life, and sexier than ever, a steamy shower jack-off session just didn't seem as fulfilling as it had 2 days ago. He pressed the palms of his hands against the cool plastic shower tiles and glared at the cracked grout between. She'd ruined everything. With a sigh, he hit the faucet and stepped out of the shower, then promptly ignored his 2-day scruff. From what he remembered, Danielle hadn't liked to kiss him when he wasn't clean-shaven. He'd rubbed her raw with a couple of marathon makeout sessions, one of which had led to the first time he'd slipped his finger into her. And there was his dick again, making a tent of his towel. With a groan, he flipped off the razor that sat waiting on the rim of his sink and headed for the bedroom. He couldn't stomp his feet in here like he was tempted to do, on account he'd probably fall through the squishy spots in the old laminate flooring. He yanked open the top drawer of his dresser to make up for it, then dressed in a huff. The shower was supposed to reinstate his happy demeanor, but it had failed miserably. Tegan and Brooke were cooking for the crew tonight, though, and if his sniffer wasn't lying, that was spaghetti and garlic bread he smelled wafting through the drafty windows of his trailer. By the time he made his way outside and down the porch steps, the ash crew was gathered around the fire pit at the end of the road. He shook out the last of the water drops from his hair and mussed the top, then jogged toward the others. His shoulders relaxed as he settled into an eye-scorching green plastic lawn chair by the fire, with his plate piled high with pasta, mixed vegetables, and fingers singeing hot garlic bread. Leaning over, he grabbed a beer from the red cooler between him and Brighton, and handed his brother one too. Tops popped, he clinked his bottle against his brother's in silent cheers, like Dad had always done before every meal when they were growing up. Then he took a long swig and dug in. It was amazing how a satisfied stomach, after a hard day of work, could change his mood. It was that, or the banter of his crew, that made for an easy distraction. Kellen wrapped his arm around his passing mate's waist and pulled Skylar into his lap, then whispered something into her ear, causing her to giggle. Dennison smiled at the easy love they'd found and took another pull on his beer. Leaning back, he arched his neck toward the sky and stared at the slashes of airplane contrails that crisscrossed the summer sky. "What the hell is that?" Bruiser asked. Dennison snapped his head down and frowned at the giant, shiny, silver RV bumping toward the trailer park. And hauling that highfalutin home on wheels was none other than Danielle's green Jeep. "Shit," Dennison drawled, sitting forward and draping his elbows on his knees. He needed about a dozen more beers to deal with whatever hell was headed his way. "Is that..." Tegan squinted at the Jeep. "Is that Danielle?" "Badger's back?" Bruiser crowed. Kellen was staring over his mate's shoulder at the approaching vehicle with a calculating look that said he was just going to be a casual observer and not get involved. But Skylar gave a tentative wave to the approaching vehicle from his lap. Out of all of them, she was probably the nicest. Danielle waved back. She braked and turned off the car, then slid out in what had to be the tightest pair of jeans ever constructed. They clung to her curves in a way that made his belly tighten and his balls swell. Dennison would have given his least favorite nut to peel those off her and see if she still liked shaving her lady parts like she used to. Damn, he regretted his decision not to jerk off in the shower. Hayden whistled, so Dennison whacked his knuckles into the guy's stomach. Hayden oofed air, and his stupid catcall got stuck in his throat. Served him right. "Hi, fellas," Danielle called as she sauntered toward the fire. "Hey, Badger," Drew called out, waggling his blonde eyebrows. "What are you doing way out in our neck of the woods?" "Oh, geez, no one has called me Badger in so long. Drew, Kellen, Hayden, Bruiser, Tegan." She greeted his friends with a smile. She waved to Brighton and introduced herself to Brooke and Skylar, and never once did that stunning grin fade from her face. Not until her eyes landed on Dennison. He swallowed the pain and stood. "Sit on down. You hungry?"
"I don't want to take your food."
"Nonsense," Kellen said, canting his head at their visitor. "You're Dennison's maid. Our food is yours." "Kellen," Dennison gritted out. Skylar turned and cupped her mate's cheeks, then shook her head and kissed him sweetly on the lips.
"I'm your mate?"
Danielle looked partly baffled and entirely uncomfortable with that wordage.
"You remember Kellen," Dennison explained. "He don't say things like other people do. I get you played." God, he wished the whole damned crew hadn't been around to witness his downward spiral after Danielle left. They'd all been big fans of hers, once upon a time. From the way Hayden was grinning like an idiot, as if he was enjoying the show, Dennison suspected maybe they still thought she was all right. Fan-friggin-tastic. Danielle was wearing her poker face as best she could, but inside, she was shaking like a leaf in a windstorm. Memories of days at the lake with this wild batch of boys, now men, had a feeling like she was home in a place she'd never seen before. 4 years ago, they'd lived all over and around Saratoga, only coming together when someone was throwing a keg party in an overgrown field, or for night mutton, or Friday nights at Sammy's bar to watch Dennison and Brighton play, or really any excuse for them to get together. Through the years, she had thought about the men around the fire who talked to her now like she'd never left. But she'd imagined they'd all moved on and made something of themselves. She most definitely didn't envision them forming some kind of moonshiner commune in the middle of the wilderness. From where she stood, none of them had changed. Not one little bit. And Dennison. God, her heart lurched into her throat, constricting her windpipe until her chest hurt to draw breath. He was beautiful, if a manly woodsman could be called that. Hair damp, like he'd just showered, threadbare black shirt holding onto his broad shoulders, and that sexy scruff he wore on his face now. She hadn't ever been attracted to men with facial hair, but damn, could Dennison wear it? He was all sex appeal and dove-colored smoldering eyes as he watched her warily. He sat on the edge of his seat, like he would bolt at any moment. And when he offered her his chair, she thought he'd do just that. Instead, he piled spaghetti and fixins on a plate and offered it to her at arm's length, as if he were afraid she might try to touch him. "Thank you," she murmured. The moment was so surreal, she had to anchor herself in it so she wouldn't think it was a dream come tomorrow. She clenched her hands until her nails pressed painfully against her palms to remind herself this was really happening. All of these familiar faces and personalities. And Denny. Shit. She blinked rapidly to stop the stupid burning sensation behind her eyes. She hadn't thought of him as Denny in a long time. Anger had made her heart tuck away the term of endearment. She blamed the boys for calling her Badger again. "Where did you get the nickname?" the blonde woman with open, smiling blue eyes asked. Denny came up with it. Dennison snapped his head up, and Danielle closed her eyes, furious with herself for letting his nickname slip. "What I meant to say is, Dennison gave it to me a long time ago." "On account of her being tenacious," Drew said with a shit-stirring smile. "She followed Danny around town to all his gigs for 3 weeks, quietly stalking him until he was so head over heels and..." "That's good," Dennison said, his furious gaze dipping to the toe of his boots as he leaned against a makeshift buffet table made of rough, unstained wood.
"Wait, you and Dennison dated?"
Brooke asked, eyes round, as a disbelieving smile crooked her lips. Danielle was going to kill Mr. Reynolds. Slowly, "Yes," she choked out, then cleared her throat. "For a minute." "Can I talk to you?" Dennison ground out. "Alone?"
"Probably best."
Danielle set her plate on her seat and followed Dennison's receding back. He didn't stop until he reached a trailer with the number 1015 over the door. He scaled the porch stairs and threw open the screen door, which banged closed right in front of her. "Sorry," he muttered as he pushed it open again and waved her inside. The entryway led to a small living area, off an even smaller kitchen. Everything was clean and tidy, in its place.
"Is this your house?"
"Yeah," he said, throwing his hands up. "And now you're here in my place, making it smell like you, so that I'll literally never be able to escape you. So this was an awful idea on my part, bringing you in here."
"Do you want me to leave?"
"Yes, Danielle." Dennison gripped his hips and sighed, then turned his back on her and ran his hands through his hair. "And no, I don't know." He collapsed onto a couch that sat in the middle of the living room, long legs folded and knees spread wide. "Why are you here?"
Honesty was best. "I'm here for a job. I was told this morning, my job now depends on you.
On me? What kind of job?
I graduated in December and started combing job listings for something in my field. The beetle infestation has been a problem up here, and some bigwig wants research done on the effects on the land around here. He hired me and one other person, Darren, to begin our research to tell him just how badly the area is affected, and to try to come up with solutions that will preserve the ecosystem here. Apparently, I need a guide.
Can't do it.
Danielle took a seat on the brown micro-suede love seat that sat next to the couch and asked, Why not?
Because it's you. Do you really think it's a smart idea for us to spend time together? You couldn't stand to be around me for 5 minutes yesterday before running off. I know the area, but this is fire and gasoline, Danielle. I don't think we should mix them, if you know what I mean. And anyway, I'm on a tight deadline with my crew, and Tegan isn't going to be able to spare me. Best you go and find someone you have a shot at not hating at the end of the day. Someone who has more time and energy for whatever hunt for an ecosystem beetle cure you're on. It ain't me you want for this little adventure. Tell your boss I'm sorry. But the answer is no.
Chapter 4
Disappointment and relief swirled through her chest as she let his answer wash over her. He'd denied her. It had been a monstrous mountain to climb just to work up the courage to come here tonight. But at least she'd tried. Environmentalists didn't find steady work easily, and especially not jobs that were offering to pay what Reynolds had. But was it worth feeling the depth of the pain she and Dennison had caused each other? Dennison couldn't hold her gaze and cracked his knuckles softly against the heavy silence in the room. She thought not. Nothing was worth this kind of pain that was slashing through her insides, and from the way Dennison's eyebrows drew down and his eyes dimmed, she wasn't the only one hurt by this reunion.
I'm sorry I came.
She shrugged, unsure of how to word the mass of emotions roiling against her chest cavity.
I didn't mean to hurt either one of us. I just... Well, it doesn't matter.
You just what?
Dennison lifted his eyes slowly to hers, held her gaze, and wouldn't release her. She dug deep for the bravery she'd grown since she'd left here those years ago.
When I took the job, I was scared you would still be here. And then I was scared you had moved on and I'd never get closure. It's been a confusing month preparing to come back here.
Why'd you leave in the first place?
His voice sounded raw and unused, but his eyes stayed steady on her.
I didn't want to be someone's second choice. I thought we were more, but you didn't feel the same.
Dennison linked his hands behind his neck and leaned back against the plush couch cushion.
How can you sit there and look me in the eyes and say that? I was willing to give up everything for you. I was scared as shit about what was happening between us. But I was still willing to try and keep you.
Keep me?
Yeah, keep you. Keep you happy, keep you with me, keep you here. I knew you had to go back to school and I wasn't going to stand in the way of your education. I saw how much working in the woods meant to you. But I wanted the relationship, even if it was just summers and holidays together, I would have waited. I wanted you to come back to me when you were through. Instead, you just bailed. You never answered my calls. Probably shredded my letters. And for what? Because you thought I didn't care about you enough? I cared about you too much.
Heartbreak hunched her forward, and a sob clawed its way up her throat.
Then why did you cheat on me?
Dennison froze, eyes wide and furious, mouth set in a thin, shocked line. Slowly, his eyebrows raised.
Cheat on you? And who is it you think I cheated on you with? That's not even an option for my kind, Danielle. Not when we're in that deep. I didn't want anyone else.
Danielle shook her head and shot him a warning look.
Don't.
Of course he'd deny it. All men did after they were caught. The walls came for her when she stood, collapsing by inches until they threatened to snuff her out completely.
Oh, yeah, Dennison said, standing. Run. Run when it gets hard. See, this is why we wouldn't have ever worked. As soon as you get scared, you bolt. If a conversation turns too serious, you disappear like you never freaking existed. Have I ever walked away from talking to you?
Danielle reached for the doorknob and clutched the cold metal in her damp palm. Tears rimmed her eyes, threatening to overflow. How mortifying that he'd snuffed out all her bravado with a few words.
No, she whispered. You never did that.
Inhaling deeply, she turned, but was unable to meet his gaze.
I saw you that night. You'd invited me to your show. And I had all these plans.
What plans?
I was going to tell you I loved you that night. I'd felt it for a while, and I never said it to anyone, and you'd been saying it for weeks, but I hadn't been able to accept that you could feel that way about someone like me.
Someone like you? How did you see yourself?
The same way everyone saw me. Brainy, unsocial, awkward. But you made me feel pretty and special and cared for, and I wanted to finally tell you how I felt. But you were with her.
She dared a look at him. He was shaking his head with his palms open as he approached her like a rancher soothing a spooked horse.
Her who?
The redhead. You had your arms around her, and you were both smiling and whispering in each other's ears, and then...
She swallowed down the yellow-bellied chicken in her.
And then I saw you kiss her.
Laura.
Sure, great. Now I know her name. At least it's not Cinnamon the... Whore-faced, nipple-clamped, smelly vag.
Laura Beck, my sister.
Oh,
his sister. His freaking sister?
No way did Danielle make that big of a mistake. No way
did she throw away a relationship with Denny because she was too caught up in being hurt to confront him. The door was smooth against her back as she slid down and pulled her knees to her chest. That certainly put a different spin on how she'd seen him that night. Maybe the embraces hadn't been as flirty as she'd imagined.
Please tell me you're kidding.
What? You'd rather I cheated on you?
Well, I'd been trying for 3 months to get you to open up to me, and you hadn't given me anything. You didn't talk about your family. You didn't talk about why Brighton doesn't have a voice. You were always meeting up with the boys and... sharing all these secret little looks every time I asked a question, and it left me on the outside. You with that girl, cheating on me, well, it made sense why you wouldn't let me in. She made everything make sense.
Danielle bit her lip hard to keep another round of tears at bay. Dennison ran his hand roughly through his hair. He picked up a throw pillow, as if he were going to throw it at the wall, but decided against it, and yelled into it instead. When he lifted his gaze back to hers, his eyes were blazing a lighter color, as if the shitty fluorescent lighting above him reflected off his face at a strange angle.
Damn it, Danielle, all you had to do was confront me, literally. All you had to do was pick up your damn cell phone one of the 100 times I called you, and let me explain. I knew you were feeling like an outsider. Don't you think I could tell that? I was hurting you, but it was either... let you all the way into my life, which included the scary parts, or cut you loose to spare you. I was going to let you know how I felt that night, too. My mom and dad don't live around here, but Laura lives up in Denver. I asked her to drive out here to meet you. That was a big step for me. I was going to ease you into what my life was really like because I...
The unspoken words hung in the space between them. Danielle was breaking apart. She'd shattered them both by making assumptions.
Danny.
She stood and wiped her eyes with the back of her hands. He tossed the pillow back on the couch and kept his eyes on it. Softly, he said, I've been accused of a lot of things. Cheating is a new one for me. I think you should leave.
I owe you a huge apology.
I ain't ready for it tonight. Go on now. He still wouldn't look at her. She felt like she was falling, like she was being sucked into a hole in the floor and scrabbling her nails for purchase on thin laminate that was getting pulled down with her. She closed her eyes as the pain of what she'd done burst through her chest. How stupid had she been to let a misunderstanding do this to them? She deserved this burning that spread through her limbs and left a numb sensation in their wake.
Okay. I'm sorry.
The words sat right at the tip of her tongue. She wanted to say them so bad, but he told her not to. He deserved those words from her, but he wasn't ready to forgive her. She understood, but it didn't make it hurt less. Gritting her teeth, She turned for the door and opened it just wide enough for her to get through. Tegan stood at the bottom of the porch stairs. In fact, the entire group seemed to be there, milling around in the shadows. Someone had turned strings of holiday lights on, illuminating the dirt road and the dilapidated trailers that lined it. Heat filled her cheeks. I guess the walls are pretty thin around here.
We heard, Tegan said, arching a dark eyebrow.
His bright blue eyes studied her in silence until she was nice and uncomfortable under the scrutiny. She probably had mascara all over her face and looked like a sniffling zombie.
Dennison will help you. I can spare him for a week.
I don't think he wants that.
He doesn't have a choice. It's my decision, and what I say goes around here. Anything past a week, we can't help you.
She'd have to mull this over tonight because she definitely wasn't sure she still wanted to do this. The job felt very small in light of everything now. But maybe, just maybe, she could make it up to Dennison if he would let her.
Tegan sidled past her and disappeared inside Dennison's house. The boys wandered off, talking low, but Skylar and Brooke waited for her to climb down the steps, then flanked her and walked her to the Jeep.
I know you're thinking about leaving, Brooke murmured, but I think you should stay. If you have a running problem, I can promise you it won't fix what's been broken with Dennison.
Denny doesn't want me here. He told me to leave.
A door banged, and Danielle jumped, then spun in time to see Dennison hop over the railing of his porch and stomp off toward a fence that surrounded the trailer park. He didn't even look at her once before he disappeared into the shadows.
She'd done this. Every ounce of pain she'd been through to get over Dennison was on her, and the unimaginable agony she'd caused him made her feel like the dirt between the tread on her Jeep. I messed up really bad.
In the distance, a feral roar echoed off the mountains. Danielle hunched as a flock of birds lifted from the nearest tree and flapped off into the night, as if startled by the terrifying noise.
What was that?
The other women looked at each other. Then Brooke draped her arm over Danielle's shoulders.
You're in the wilderness now, Badger. Better get used to the wild animals.
Chapter 5. A horrendous booming sound traveled down the side of the RV, rattling the metal home. Danielle shot straight up with a yelp and lurched over the edge of the bed.
Breakfast is on!
A voice that sounded suspiciously like Bruiser's called through the thin wall. Grumpily, she lunged across the tiny living area and threw open the door. Bruiser's eyebrow shot up, and he rocked backward on his heels.
Whoa there, Badger. You look like hell just spat you out.
Danielle glared. You know, knocking means on the door, not all along the walls, right? Bruiser balanced a plate piled with eggs and bacon in one hand and made a sweeping gesture to the ramshackle homes behind him.
Different rules in the trailer park, darling. You don't like 'em? You can park your fancy RV on that side of the fence.
He shoved the plate of food at her, then spun and walked away.
We're leaving in half an hour. Oh!
He turned his behemoth shoulders and pulled a wadded-up length of fabric from his back pocket.
Wear this.
She caught it in midair and shook it open as best she could while balancing the plate. It was a soft black t-shirt that read, Ash Crew, in bright pink letters.
The girls made it for you last night. Apparently, they like you, and their opinions count for a hell of a lot around here.
Bruiser? She asked as he turned to walk away again.
What?
Where are we going?
Lumberjack Wars. We're all competing. Hurry scurry now. We ain't waiting on you for long.
Oh. She stared at his back, which was roughly the width of the broadside of a barn. Okay. Lumberjack Wars. She ate in haste and grabbed some skinny jeans and hiking boots to go with her shirt. She'd showered in a vacant trailer, 10-10 last night, but her hair had dried in snarls, thanks to the nightmares that roaring animal had given her. Face washed, teeth brushed, and hair swept into a messy bun. She dressed in her new shirt, then plumped her lips with some pink gloss and lengthened her dark lashes with mascara. Ready for the day, she bolted out the front door of her humble abode. The Ash Crew, as they apparently called themselves, were bustling here and there to various trucks like frenzied ants. Her eyes lit on Dennison like a paperclip to a magnet. He was loading a giant cooler into the back of an old beat-up green Bronco.
Hey! She called. jogging toward him.